Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter till the 10 continues. Hour number two. We got tickets for Roger Waters. We're going to give them to you when we play the news quiz. We're brought to you by Sit and Sleep. Larry Miller, of course, will be anyone's advertised price. Your mattress is free. He's been doing that for the last 20-plus years with me. And right now we're joined by Christopher Ruddy, the CEO of Newsmax Media, a man who was a former reporter. Actually, was a teacher at one time. One of 12. Dad was a police officer. Took 25 grand, started Newsmax, and it's doing okay. So you did okay for yourself, Chris Ruddy. How are you?
I'm great, Peter. How are you?
Okay, so you always, when I have you on, you always create a blank storm, like a DEFCON 8 blank storm. The last one was when you mentioned, I think, on PBS, that I think Trump is considering perhaps terminating the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and then ba-boom, that was the talk for 3 days. You still stand by that, yes? That you didn't talk to the president, but your sense was that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the president's own attorney, Jay Sekulow, had been on TV that Sunday and said the president was leaving it open as an option. And I said that he was considering it, in my opinion, not based on anything that the president had told me. So there was nothing in my mind new about it, but I guess me mentioning it brought it up again, and that's fine. And I made the point on PBS, the show with Judy Woodruff, and you know that's mostly, I would say, a liberal mainstream media, but they're fair and they're straightforward. And they gave me an opportunity to present my view, not necessarily the White House, although I think they share a lot of it, is that the special counsel is illegitimate. You know, there's no underlying crime that anybody's even alleged yet that has taken place. And yet there has been an investigation that's gone on for 6 months, grand juries. Now they keep having press reports. They're expanding the investigation. And I think that the special counsel Mueller, while I don't think it would be wise to fire him at this point, I also think that there is some real serious conflicts and problems that he has.
Oh, so, which is smart. I mean, I've read about it, and I've read some legal briefs where they say that he's too close to Comey, et cetera. But both Republicans and Democrats are saying, look, they trust this guy. He's credible. My question to you is, so one of the theories was that Chris Ruddy came out and because he's you were written up somewhere as the Trump whisperer, but that you came out and didn't want him to fire the special counsel. So what you did is, knowing that he watches television, you went on TV and said it. He got the reaction to it, which would reinforce the fact that he shouldn't do it. And you also got some attention from Newsmax. Not a bad thing, but that was your intent. Was that your intent?
Well, Peter, theories are wonderful, aren't they? There can be endless, and they don't necessarily have to be based in fact. And I've known Donald Trump for 20 years, known him really well for 10. And any idea that somehow I could go on a TV show and change his opinion on something, I think is farcical. So, and then Newsmax gets a lot of publicity without ever me going on. And I'm sure everybody's now going to their devices to check out what we say on Newsmax right this second.
There you go. Look at you.
Of course, so they should do that every 5 minutes now.
All right, now you're overselling. Now you're overselling.
Some pronouncement. But I want to go back to what you said when you said there's issues with Mueller, et cetera. So let's talk about the et cetera for a second. This is a guy that was a friend of Comey's.
Mm-hmm.
The day before he takes the special counsel position, he goes in and meets with the president, who is considering him as FBI director. They have a private conversation. So the man that he is now, that's now investigating him, was debriefing him on all his views about the FBI. God knows what they talked about. I'm not privy to that. But I think that, to me, is a massive. Then you find out that he hires two heavyweight prosecutors who have donated very large amounts, I think maximum amount allowable, for Obama and Hillary Clinton. And you go, okay, now is this? Then they start leaking about what's in the investigation. And then you start raising the question, is this really a partisan effort to get the president, or is it a fair judicial inquiry into this case? And I feel the president's pain and frustration here.
All right, well, let me ask you this, though, if you can step up and go. I know you know him for 20 years. So this investigation's going on, and some think, Republican friends say, that are there, that near the administration say, I wish he would just concentrate on the business of the country and quit being obsessed about this, because if he's got nothing to hide, let the investigation go on. Let it finish. Let him be vindicated. then you can shove it up the Democrats, you know what. But meanwhile, the questions that arise are the fact that both kids and he, I mean, Eric said a substantial part of our portfolio comes from Russia. He's said it, that we've had business ties to Russia in the past. Let me finish for 1 second. So my question is, with all of that floating around and the fact that the timing of the firing of Comey, the interview on TV after Sessions said it was about the Hillary emails, and his testimony in Congress was about the emails and ignored the fact that the president went on TV and said it had something to do with Russia, and he thought about it for quite some time now. And the fact that there isn't transparency in all of the business dealings because of the taxes and the constant tweeting about the investigations, etc. Don't you think that it does to somebody who doesn't know him, who's sitting back, voted for him, or maybe didn't beg a lot of questions?
Well, you've raised some good questions. I'm not saying they're all inappropriate or wrong, but, you know, there's a lot of onion to peel in that monologue. It's a good one, but there's a lot to peel. So Eric never said the company's portfolio is largely based. He said we were selling, I think, a lot of real estate to Russians, and maybe in a particular building. I don't know. I don't get the perception a lot of the Trump Organization money or anyone has claimed a lot of.
Well, the quote was from Eric.
They have a number of foreign banks that have loaned money, but I'm not aware of any Russian money.
But Eric's quote was, we have all the, if you look it up, we have all the, unless it's erroneous, we have all the funding we need out of Russia, was his quote.
Okay, so I don't know what he was talking about, but I don't think the facts of substantiated that in the level you just said, where you use the word half their portfolio comes from Russia, which would suggest they have their assets. But be that as it may, I would see Donald Trump almost every weekend in the winter, and then I was with him in New York occasionally at his offices. I would travel with him to Scotland when he opened up his beautiful Scottish club. And I cannot remember, and this is a man that would introduce me to everyone around him, and I cannot remember him introducing me to a single Russian. And so I think of this, you know, it goes back to when people say, oh, he's obsessed about this. Okay, well, if you know his personality, and I think the American public's pretty familiar with it by now, he tells people what he thinks. So he, you know, a normal politician would say, you know what, I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to reveal much about what I think. I'm going to let this play out. No, Trump's whole worldview has been just tell people what you honestly think. And sometimes it looks like it can be troublesome, like when he said I fired him over the Russian investigation when his own White House had a different statement on it. But it's still him giving his honest opinion. So when he says to someone like Comey, you know, I'd really like you to go easy on Flynn, or he says to other people in his cabinet, that's not, in my mind, Donald Trump obstructing justice, because the president, you could be far more effective obstructing justice by saying, I'm going to hire this person, and I want you to close down the
investigation. And by the way, Chris, Alan Dershowitz agrees with you. He's saying they don't have an obstruction case at all. Yet, at this point, the reality is that there is a special counsel going on, and that could take a year or two. You know him. How is he going to deal with that for the next year or two, as he's trying to get policy through, as he's trying to get health care through before July 4th, as he's trying to get infrastructure through? How is he going to deal with this on a daily basis?
Well, he's been dealing with it on a daily basis now. This thing is not new, and that's probably part of the frustration. And it's, I think, a political effort to hurt his agenda by tying him up on these legal processes. And I think that's been a clever maneuver. What I don't think they realize is how determined this president is. He's moving ahead. He's done, I think, an incredible job raising the idea that American jobs should be here, that they should be growing the jobs, that they need more. We need more American jobs. I think he's done an incredible job getting China to open up their markets, getting the Saudis to start paying up, getting the NATO countries to start paying up. So this is a man that's pretty obsessed with helping the American economy, and I think you'll see a tax bill this summer. I think that's going to bring a broad-based prosperity that we haven't seen in years. And that's coming. So I think he'll achieve these things. It's taking a little more longer than usual. And I think it's, I would say, because he's facing a little more obstacles than usual.
Well, and this is going to continue the reality of it. Hey, Chris, let me ask you something else about the White House. You had brought up one of the other things that created turmoil in the past. So then you brought up the situation with Reince Priebus and the fact that you weren't happy with how the communication was being dealt with in the White House. Is there, and I don't know if you will reveal or you won't reveal, but is there still turmoil in there? We hear that Jeff Sessions, you know, your story is that he wanted to quit. You heard that the president's not happy with him, feels that he's the reason that it led him down the path to a special counsel. You hear that Reince Priebus may be out. There are four different dates. There are always holiday dates where Reince Priebus is going to be out. The next was July 4th. He'll no longer be there. And that you got the Bannon faction fighting with the Jared faction. Is any of that, from your perspective, any of that rise to real the point of view?
I think you've been out in Hollywood too long, Peter. It sounds like a Hollywood movie. No. Sounds like the next season.
Well, that's why I'm asking. You did mention the Reince Priebus thing in the past, so.
Well, I'm not privy. I have a day job. I run Newsmax here in Florida. I'm not privy to all the inside dealings at the White House. I try to stay a little divorced and separated from that. I think if you look, there have been some bumps here, but it's pretty consistent with other administrations where, you know, the first 2 years, go back to the first 2 years of those Clinton administrations.
Oh, it was a mess. It was a mess.
And then he ended up losing Congress for the first time since Franklin Roosevelt, the Democrats did. And then he made some dramatic changes, and he had 6 good years as president, despite having a lot of investigations, by the way, as many as probably arguably more than Trump is currently
doing. Right, right.
So this is not new. I personally think we should try to get away a little bit from the partisan politics and focus. I would encourage, as I have encouraged publicly, the president to go more to the center on things, to find areas in education, infrastructure, taxes, and health care that unite people and bring them together, and I think are more consistent with Donald Trump's worldview.
What does he say? Because I know you got to go. What does he say when you tell him that over dinner at the Mar-a-Lago?
Well, I think that I will let the president say it for himself, because I've heard that that's always a really, really good thing to do.
I appreciate
and
it.
And he's pretty articulate about it when he's out in the, on the public custing. So
I hear
continue to tune into Newsmax. We also have if you download our app on your smartphone or iPhone from the store, Newsmax TV, you can watch us anywhere in the world at any place for free. So we're the only channel you can do that. And I think Dershowitz is coming on this afternoon.
There you go. It's Newsmax.com. And Chris's Twitter is at Chris Ruddy, RUDDYNMX, correct?
That's it.
You got it. Chris, thanks. I know you're really busy. I appreciate you always taking time to come on.
Peter, always great to be on with you.
Yeah, you take it easy.
Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. So he has the presence here. It's funny that he's saying, go more moderate, go toward the center, because I've been reading in the past that he's been saying that. As far as less partisan, listen who came out and actually said we should back off, we shouldn't be so angry, and we should tone down the rhetoric. See if you can think who it is. I'll reveal who it is after. You may figure it out the second I play it. Here you go.
And I think this subject matter is critical right now. I think we've reached critical mass. I tend to agree. You and I had a bit of a confrontation because of some of the language I've used, and I have reevaluated my approach. Even though I'm a street fighter, I'm from Detroit.
Yeah.
We use language in the street. We use certain harsh terms. But at the tender age of 69, my wife has convinced me that I just can't use those harsh terms. I cannot, and I will not, and I encourage even my friends slash enemy on the left in the Democrat and liberal world, that we have got to be civil to each other, that the whole world is watching America, where you have the God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we have got to be more respectful to the other side. But I have to clarify, we really are angry. We don't believe, we cannot believe that people on the left don't want secure borders. That this is crazy to us. But I am here to tell you, your civil discourse from one side to the left and the right, I think, is a shining example. We have just got to take a deep breath. Remember, I am the Motor City Madman. I didn't just write Wango Tango. I meant it. I mean, but I'm going to take a deep breath. And I am going to back it down. And if it gets fiery, if it gets hateful, I'm going away. I'm not going to engage in that kind of hateful rhetoric anymore.
Well, there you go. Ted Nugent is sending a warning to everybody to pull it the heck back already. When the Nuge says it's enough already, I guess that's the final word. So thank you, Ted Nugent, for that. Coming up, we're going to take a brief break from politics and from divisiveness and do something different. We're going to have Wade Major on, film critic, co-host, producer of the DigiGods podcast, and a member of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. There are a ton of great movies coming out this summer, a ton. A lot of tent poles, a lot of stuff that I don't know about, that I've written names down I wanted to ask him about. So, and all of us have limited amount of funding that we have to throw around for our entertainment value. So we'll go through some of the movies you must see, and of course the movies you must stay away from. On top of that, I'm going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see Roger Waters. He's coming to town for the Us and Them tour, one of the most amazing looking visual tours, not only the Pink Floyd music and music from his new album, but the visuals on this tour are even bigger than The Wall, and that was stunning. So when I tell you to call, call, and you'll play the news quiz, and hopefully you'll win tickets to go see Roger Waters and the Us and Them tour. We'll do that and a whole lot more when Peter Tilton at 10 continues right after this. That is, of course, Pink Floyd, one of the most successful groups in history. Roger Waters, the guy who wrote this, is doing an amazing, gigantic show at the Staples Center, June 20, 21st, and 27th. We got tickets for the 27th. Call now, 800-222-5222. Get in line. I pick you. You play the news quiz, you win. I'll send you to see Roger Waters. It'll be a show you'll talk about, I think, forever. All right, let's do something a little different and shift. Get away from some serious stuff and get to lighter stuff and some distraction. We got Wade Major on, the film critic and co-host and producer of the DigiGods podcast, a member of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association, to talk about the movies you should go see this summer that you have to go see and the ones that you should definitely stay away from. How you doing, Wade?
I'm doing great.
Your life is good?
Yeah, everything's wonderful. Weather's getting better. Summer's looking good.
Yeah, pretty neat. And all the big movies are coming out. A lot of them are part two, part three, part five, part nine. There are many that I know of, and then some that I have. They sound interesting, but I don't know what they are. So let's start with a couple. First of all, I saw this movie, and I'm starting with this for no particular reason, but Kingsman, The Golden Circle. And the only reason I bring that up is the Kingsman is like a spy James Bond kind of thing, but it's funny, and it's got an edge to it.
Oh, it's so much fun. I love the Kingsman film.
I'm so glad you said that. I was on a plane, I think. And I watched the first one, not knowing what it is, and yeah. It was great. Just
it's
out
terrific.
Of the park great. So
yeah.
This thing is a go-see, definitely?
I think so. The fact that they have figured out, and that's not giving away any spoilers, but figured out how to bring Colin Firth back into it, I think is kind of cool. It's, even though it's, you know, people are going to be saying, how do you do that? Yeah, it's going to be fine. It'll be great.
And it's smart, and it's stylish, and it's a throwback to the old James Bonds of the 60s and 70s, yet it's got real heart to it and great acting. Who's the kid? Who's the younger guy?
Oh, gosh, you put me on the spot. Yeah, I always forget his name.
Yeah, but he's great. He's great.
You know, he was the singing voice of the gorilla in Sing as well, and he's a terrific actor. You know, he was in the Eddie the Eagle skiing movie as well, completely blowing a gasket on his name, but he's a great British actor. He's going to be a huge star.
Definitely, and I'm looking forward to that one. Great, great movie. Transformers, the next one, I guess, for kids, loud, explosions, fun. Yeah, right?
You know what? I thought this franchise would flame out years ago, and it hasn't. So they're just going to keep making them. They got Mark Wahlberg in there now, stepping in for Shia LaBeouf, and he just keeps killing it. So
yeah,
it looks like we're going to have Transformers for you know, the next 20 or 30 years.
I got to tell you, I just came back from Vancouver, and I just did it. I watched the Fast and Furious, the last one.
Yeah.
And I laughed it was hilarious. It was fun to watch. It was interesting. They really go all out on the on the stunts, man. So it was.
Yeah,
it's
gone from being a hot rod thing to a spy thing to now a completely tongue in cheek self parody thing, and you know, that's what people want, I guess.
And by the way, Wonder Woman's been out, but I just wanted to say, because I haven't seen it, is it that good? Is it worth seeing? Is it that amazing a superhero movie?
Yeah, it's great for a number of different reasons. It's primarily great, number one, because it saves DC. You know, DC was on life support. They were trying to, all these cancellations and postponements and reshoots and directors leaving and new directors, and they've been trying desperately to kind of play catch up with Marvel. Wonder Woman puts them right back in the game. It's a terrific movie. It feels like those great summer tent poles of the 80s, where it was emotionally moving, but it was funny, and it had one-liners, and it was exciting, and at the end, you felt like, you know, I just ran the whole gamut of human emotion, and I want to see this again. And previous DC movies haven't had that I want to see it again thing. Nobody said, wow, Batman versus Superman, let's go sit through 2.5 hours of that again. It just, but Wonder Woman, it's a see it again, repeat viewing, summer popcorn movie, just like we remember from the 80s.
All right, and then they got another Spider-Man, and I can't keep track of who's Spider-Man now.
Yeah, this is this new kid who's playing Spider-Man showed up briefly in, Captain America Civil War, which is kind of an Avengers light when they're introducing, you know, they're getting Black Panther in there and they're seeding the Spider-Man. It's, yeah. So he's new to the franchise. He was plucked specifically by the people at Marvel, Kevin Feige and those guys, when they kind of cut their deal with Sony. Because remember, Sony had rights to the Spider-Man movies, wasn't making it work, and then they came to Marvel over at Disney and said, can we collaborate? And Marvel said, well, glad you've come back to the well, so welcome home. And then now Marvel has basically taken charge, even though Columbia and Sony, they're distributing. This is a Marvel thing, so it's going to plug in with the Avengers in the Marvel cinematic universe.
But there's no more certainty that if you become Spider-Man, I'm going to ride this for five episodes and make $1 billion anymore. They'll kill you off and get a new kid. They just, yeah, we liked you, thanks, see you later.
Yeah, maybe, but so far they're pretty much sticking with it. They're not doing like what Fox did with the X-Men movies. They're sticking with their people. So he's going to be Spider-Man in this next movie. He's going to be Spider-Man in the next Avengers movie. He's going to be Spider-Man for a good little while. So I think we've got him for, you know, however many of the movies he shows up in, Spider-Man branded or Avengers branded, or even if he crosses over into, you know, a Captain America or an Iron Man movie. Or Doctor Strange or Thor, who knows? You know, they all cross pollinate each other's movies, but he'll be with it for a while.
And is Ben Affleck going to be Batman for a while? Are people happy with that? I thought there was real pushback, but then the movie did okay.
You know, we'll see. We'll see how Justice League does. That's what I think it hinges on, Justice League and the standalone Batman movie, which I'm biased on because my good friend Matt, who just did the new Planet of the Apes movie, he's on board for the Batman movie. So I'm all in and rooting for Matt to do well.
All right. And by the way, the War of the Planet of the Apes thing is another one that's just not going to die, right? Those apes just stay angry and they wreak havoc.
And, you know, Matt does a great job with those. He kind of reinvigorated after the franchise, after the first film. He did the last one. He's doing this one. I think he's got one more under contract. And what they're doing really well with this is they're not playing the time travel gimmick of the previous Planet of the Apes series from the 1970s. You know, that was all about jumping back and forth in time. And here they understand, you know what, we got a new landscape. We're going to go in linear fashion and we're going to make it a drama that is sort of a metaphor for a lot of the tribal divisions that are tearing the world apart today. And in that respect, I think they've made it a really, really meaningful franchise.
Oh, we're talking to Wade Major, our film critic, and Christopher Nolan, one of the most powerful directors in history. I didn't realize this guy can just come into whatever studio he's working with. I don't know who is. I forget who he has to deal with, and say
mainly with Warner Brothers.
Okay, yeah. So Warner Brothers. He can say, I need $180 million. I'm not going to tell you what the premise is, and you're not going to get to read the script or have any final say or edit. And they write him a check because that's his deal. They have no input into his movies.
The Dark Knight movies really put him into the stratosphere, and then obviously, you know, everything else he's done for Interstellar. I mean, he's had a great, great run. And Dunkirk is one of those movies that he's just wanted to do for a long time. I'm very hopeful about it. My one complaint about most of his previous movies is they're a little too jigsaw puzzly in the plotting. And characters kind of get lost in all of these twists and turns. And, you know, he and his brother, who write most of these movies together, they tend to do the very, very puzzly scripts. His brother's not in the picture this time. So this is his passion project. This is his own. His brother's a showrunner on television. I think his Person of Interest is his show. And Dunkirk is just a straight-up, you know, old-fashioned war movie about that unbelievable moment when, you know, Allied soldiers were stranded on the beaches of Dunkirk in France. And the trailers make it look absolutely stunning. It is a great moment in history. It is if he even comes close to recreating what actually happened, this is going to be a film of the summer, and it'll be a big Oscar contender.
Oh, he's an amazing filmmaker. I'm blanking on her name, but who is the actress and director who just said of Spielberg the other day that he doesn't put women as leads in his movies, and she had to kind of eat it because she remembered about a couple of his movies, as a matter of fact, that made it big. And that's a controversy that's out there. Now, I guess you don't tick off Steven Spielberg quickly because it comes back to bite you in the butt.
You know, I think she walked that back. I think it was Elizabeth Banks who had been in in the Spielberg film with DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, the title of which is escaping me at the moment. But yeah, I think she walked that back. I think she said, you know, that was a little bit of an overstatement.
I think she forgot about The Color Purple and people started Twitter universe really hitting her back, and I think she was embarrassed by it. But is Spielberg have anything out this summer that's huge? Is he still being really relevant, or is he kind of dropped off the radar a bit?
No, Spielberg doesn't have to make movies anymore, so he can pretty much do what he wants when he wants, and he's got things in development. There are a few things that will be. I think he has. There is definitely a film coming out next year, and heaven help us, they're talking about another Indiana Jones movie. So we will.
What Indiana Jones and the Broken Hip? What is the movie?
There you go. I don't know at this point. I think it's just, you know, they've got a ride at Disneyland and Disney World, and they need a new movie to keep that ride relevant.
I hear you. So talking to Wade Major, I've thrown you a lot of movies. What movies are you really looking for this summer that we haven't mentioned? That maybe little ones, independent ones, something that blows your mind?
You know, Maudie is a movie that opens today with Sally Hawkins in an amazing performance as a famous folk painter from Nova Scotia, who you know, primarily during the 40s, 50s, and 60s. She could very well get an Oscar nomination for this. She is really, really terrific. It's a great film. Ethan Hawke in a wonderful supporting part. It's a little Canadian-British independent film. Baby Driver. I am really excited about Baby Driver. Edgar Wright is the hottest director that hasn't been hot for a while. You know, he directed Hot Fuzz, and then he was going to direct Ant-Man. Everybody thought, oh, Edgar Wright bringing it to Ant-Man, and then there were creative differences, and he stepped away from Ant-Man. So everyone's been waiting to see what is Edgar Wright going to do, and Baby Driver looks like it's going to be an enormously fun movie. It's about a guy, Ansel Elgort, plays a getaway driver who gets involved in a kind of a rather nasty organized crime situation run by Kevin Spacey. It looks like a lot of fun.
And why is it called Baby? Can you tell us why it's called Baby Driver?
I don't really know.
All I thought about when you said Baby Driver is a story of a guy like in a getaway car, grabbing a getaway car and realizing he's got a baby in the back seat.
It looks like a lot of high octane fun. I'm hoping, but again, you know, Will Ferrell's very hit and miss with movies, and so is Amy Poehler. But I'm hoping that The House is going to be really funny. When you put Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler together, it should be funny. So let's hope that all comes together.
And what is that? What's the premise?
The premise is it's a couple of parents who they burn through their daughter's college fund, and in order to pay her back, they open an illegal casino in the basement.
All right, it sounds like sounds very funny already.
Yeah, it's a great premise.
Yeah, well, okay, and it's a flat out comedy. They're just going for it.
Yeah, it's a straight comedy. And then, of course, I'm curious about the Luc Besson film Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. I used to live in France, so I'm somewhat familiar with the French graphic novel comic book that it's based on, but it looks very Guardians of the Galaxy. So it'll be interesting to see if it kind of falls in the wake of Guardians of the Galaxy and benefits from that, or if people make unfavorable comparisons. So that's going to be interesting. That comes out late July.
And wait, Guardians did well, right? It made
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of tanks already. You know, the Alien film tanked. The new Pirates film tanked.
Did the Mummy tank?
Baywatch is tanking. Which one?
The Mummy.
Oh, the Mummy is getting terrible reviews. Let's see how it does. It may still have some legs because of Tom Cruise. It's not a good movie, but they're pinning a lot on it. You know, this is supposed to be the beginning of the new monster franchise, so they're going to try to do with the old Universal Monsters what Marvel's been doing with the Avengers. That's the plan. I don't know if it's going to pan out, but we'll see how that does. It should tank, but it's not so far.
And did World War Z come out yet, the Brad Pitt thing, number two, or is it coming out?
No, that's in the offing. That's yet to come out. That's
no, he's one that stuns me. He has failure after failure after failure, and yet he's still a star. And people say he's a thing, yet he does a lot of movies in a row that don't bring the people into the seats.
You know, I, mostly with Brad Pitt, people are looking at him now as a producer, and he has produced two Best Picture Academy Award winners just in the past few years, back to back. So, one of them being 12 Years a Slave. So, you know, he's he still has clout. If not box office clout, he certainly has some critical clout.
All right, before we go, what about Rough Night with Scarlett Johansson and Demi Moore, who was on TV the other night missing teeth because she said, I grinded down my two front teeth because of stress, which is pretty, lady, that's a lot of stress. Is this a funny movie, and is she back?
It's getting terrible reviews. I have not seen it. My colleagues who have seen it really thought it was a big, you know, it had funny moments, but just really didn't pan out. And especially when you start comparing it to things like Bridesmaids and, you know, all of the other Night Out movies, it apparently does not meet
doesn't
the bar.
Hold up. I got to ask you, wait, is there a trend now? Do you see a movie trend going to a certain kind of movie? I know they do the tentpoles because they have to. But do you see them? Is there a movie thing now where it's, hey, they'll make a lot of movies for under $14 million because they can make back the movie, or over $150 million, but the middle ground is not happening?
Middle ground still isn't back. The middle ground has sort of drifted over to television, and we're getting to a glut in television now. You know, Netflix is coming out with like five new series every month and every week, and Amazon and, you know, everybody else, and Hulu now has Bridesmaid's Tale. So it's interesting in terms of movies where that's going to be with movies. We can't keep this sequel thing going forever, and we've had so many sequels that have tanked, and you know, like Baywatch adaptations that have tanked so far this year. They're going to have to try to reclaim the mid-ground at some point. They can't all be tentpoles. You've got to counter-program. Everybody kind of forgets that, you know, when Batman opened back in 89, the Tim Burton Batman, you also had Honey, I Shrunk the Kids opening that same weekend, and it made a ridiculous amount of money and was one of the big winners of the summer because Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was counter-programming. Nobody counter-programs anymore. So I think the studios are going to have to stop all chasing the gold medal and figure somebody's got to get silver and bronze.
You know what you just did? A lot of producers listen to the show. You just goosed somebody to start a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise again. you're responsible if you see that. By the way, one more question before we go. How does James Cameron... how is he certain that people are going to want to see four more movies in that franchise of Avatar? Because he's off writing them, and he's going to produce them, and he, like what I just said with Christopher Nolan, doesn't have to have approval. He just asked for the money.
Yeah, and I think part of the selling point there was what he told 20th Century Fox when he made the first one, which was, yes, you just spent an ungodly sum of money making this movie, but at least half that amount of money has gone to building the CGI infrastructure that will be used to make the next one. So they become cost-effective the more of these things that we make.
Wow.
So I think that was attractive. I think they said, wow, so we've already invested in more movies down the line. And from a marketing standpoint, that was brilliant for him because he right then and there, he sold them on more movies.
Well, he's got guts and something else, a pair, you know what else, bigger than anybody because to risk four and bank on the next 15 years, people are going to want to watch sequels to that movie. Pretty amazing. Hey, Wade, thanks. It's a pleasure. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's a nice diversion to find out what movies to go see.
Absolutely.
Get our minds out of all the stuff that's going on. Wade is the film critic and co-host and producer of DigiGods Podcast, a member of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. His website, DigiGods, DigiGods.com, and I appreciate it. We'll talk to you sooner rather than later. Some new stuff comes out. Thanks so much. You know what? I'm going to talk to you right now. Here's the deal. 800-222-5222. I'm holding in my hands the Peter Tilden News Quiz. One lucky player is going to get a chance to win and go see Roger Waters, the Us and Them Tour, one of the biggest shows you'll ever see, one of the biggest rock concerts. At the Staples Center, I got tickets for June 27th. You call right now, 800-222-5222. Play the news quiz. You win, you go see Roger Waters, and we'll do that next. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues, and it's time to do our news quiz, and all the lines are lit, and let me go to, let's see, Michelle in La Mirada. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you do for a living, Michelle?
I work for the Department of Education.
And what do you do for the Department of Education?
I work in testing.
Oh, okay. Has the testing changed much over the years?
Well, it's gotten electronic. So it's gone from the paper pencil test that we remember to electronic computer-based testing.
Could you pass the test today? Well, you know what the test is. Has it gotten much harder or no?
It has, but not as rigorous, I don't think.
God, so they've dumbed it down a little. See, nobody talks about dumb kids. My parents were called in, and there was no problem. with the person in the office saying, you got a moron doing the work of an imbecile. I knew where I was on the bell-shaped curve, but today everybody gets a smiley face, and I guess they have to dumb down the test a little bit. But let's do this. I'm not going to dumb this down, but you know how we play. We do multiple choice, true and false. You listen to me carefully, and then you win the tickets to see Roger Waters. You ready?
Yes.
What corporation announced that it is buying Whole Foods for $13.7 billion? Was it A, Walmart, B, Amazon, or C, Trump Steaks?
B, Amazon.
Bingo. Amazon said it would buy Whole Foods for $13.7 billion, its biggest acquisition ever, and a huge move into the grocery space. Which member of the Trump administration recently hired outside counsel to deal with the Russian hacking investigation? Was it A, Bernie Sanders, B, advisor Kellyanne Conway, or C, Vice President Mike Pence?
C.
Yes, he hired his own lawyer, and we just found out this morning that Trump's personal lawyer just had to hire a lawyer. Former President Barack Obama may be considered for the position of new president of what? A, Harvard University, B, Amazon.com, or C, Kenya?
A.
A, Harvard University. He graduated in 1991. According to research, this was a stunner. By the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy, what percentage of Americans actually think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows? Is it 3%, is it 7%, or is it 14%?
7%.
It is, but 48% didn't know where it comes from. That's really scary. After being attacked and bitten by a rabid raccoon this week, a Maine woman did what? A, drowned the raccoon with her bare hands. B, cooked and ate the raccoon. C, sewed up her wounds. Was it drowned, cooked, or sewed?
A, drowned.
Drowned the raccoon. She'd been running on a woodland trail near her home when the animal started bounding towards her with bared teeth. She said she instantly saw that he was like a Tasmanian devil. And she with my thumb in its mouth, I just put his head down in the muck. Wow. Well, you did well. You answered most of them right. So you're going to go see Roger Waters, the Us and Them Tour.
Oh, that's awesome.
You are going to have a great time. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing. And hold on.
Thank
Dino,
you.
You're very welcome. Dino will get you the tickets. And we're just about ready to do Crosstalk with Dr. Drew next.